The book of Galatians, Galatians chapter number 5, Galatians chapter number 5, we'll read verses 22 and verse number 23 as we continue in our series that we've entitled Free Indeed. I wonder if you could just give me a little bit more monitor, please, again this evening. Thank you so very much. So as we continue our study in the book of Galatians in chapter number 5, and really as we study through chapter number 5, we're really learning to think on this thought. What does it mean when we say we're walking in the Spirit? And we come to the seventh virtue of the fruit of the Spirit, and that is faith. And faith takes God at His word. That's a good definition of faith. The Bible has other definitions, but I like that definition. Faith takes God at His word. It said God settles it, and that settles it, kind of faith, amen. I heard some people say when I first got saved, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, whether we believe it or not doesn't make any difference. If God said it, that settles it. That's the kind of faith that we ought to have. Faith does not question God. Really, there's no other way to approach God. Only way we can approach Him is by faith. There's no other avenue by which to live this Christian life. It's all of faith and nothing else. That's how we are to live. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says this, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Understand this evening that God never requires that you and I understand His plan. I want to repeat that. God never requires that you and I understand His plan only and His purposes in our life, only that we obey Him. That's God's plan for us, that we are to obey Him. We shouldn't need to have any explanations. Our flesh wants to know all the wherefores and the whys of things that God allows to come into our life. But faith says, God, you've allowed it to come to my life, and I'm going to do my very best as you have desired to allow me to go through this problem in my life. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 says this, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Paul puts it just a little bit different in Galatians 3 and verse number 11. He says, the just shall live by faith. That's those who've been justified, those who've been saved, those who've been born again. We don't walk by sight. We ought to walk by faith. Faith is a word that requires an action upon our part. It's the faith that produces faithfulness. You know, often our faith is tried. And sometimes it's tried harder than others. Sometimes it's not tried as hard. But true faith endures regardless of the situation or circumstances that we find ourselves in. The trials and tribulations of this world should not stop the faithful who serve God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4 says this, so that we are ourselves glory in you in the church of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. So whether it's tribulations or whether it's persecutions or no matter what comes our way, that we are still to endure, and we can endure because of the faith that we have in God Himself. You see, the Thessalonian believers had suffered a great deal of persecution because of their faith. You and I think that when someone mocks us or someone makes fun of us or someone rejects us when we hand a tract and we think we're suffering and we're being persecuted for our faith, my friend, we are not, have not yet suffered that form of persecution that the Thessalonians did, that Paul did, that the early New Testament Christians did. I believe the day is coming when we will suffer that kind of persecution, but that day is not yet. But they faithfully endured the persecution and they remained true to God. And that's exactly what we ought to do as well. Jesus said in Revelation 2 in verse number 10 in the last part of that verse, be thou faithful unto death and I will give thee a crown of life. You see, faith doesn't ask any questions. Faith requires no explanation. Faith conquers all and any fears. It simply believes and obeys, and we carry out that action of faith in our life. Faith is not only believing regardless of the evidence, it's obeying regardless of the consequences. So oftentimes we say that faith is regardless of the evidence that we see, we're still going to believe. But it's more than that. It's obeying regardless of the consequences that might come for the actions that we do. This word faith is used in three different ways in the book of Galatians. In Galatians 1 and verse 23, we find it refers to the context of the gospel. But then in chapter 3 and verse number 14, it refers to the faith that's required for salvation. And in our text, it refers to the faithfulness in fulfilling our Christian duties. You see, faithfulness is the Christian character produced by the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in a person's life. He enables us to be reliable. The Holy Spirit of God enables us not only to be reliable, but also to be dependable. And there seems to be a short supply of faithfulness today amongst most church members in America today. So having said that, let's stand and read Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and verse number 23. Then we'll pray and we'll think on this thought of walking faithfully. The Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this evening, Father, we thank you that we can gather here this evening, Father. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people that diligently give week in and week out, Father, that makes this building and this able to meet here a thing that we can do. So, Father, I pray now that you'll speak to your children. Help them to understand, Father, what faith is, and help them to understand that we need to walk faithfully. And then, Father, if there be someone here in the auditorium this evening, or one listening by the way of live stream that really doesn't have a grasp of what faith is, Father, may the Holy Spirit of God convict them of their need, Father, to step out by faith and to put their faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has done for them on the cross of Calvary. Oh, Father, that they might repent of their sin and put their faith and trust in Christ and become a born-again child of God. So, Father, we pray for those who are at work now and can't be here. We pray for those, Father, that are locked away, Father, because of the COVID, Father. We pray for those that are sick and not feeling well. But particularly, Father, we pray for those who don't fit that category, that know they should be in the house of God, but because of whatever reason, Father, they've chosen to stay home. I pray for them, Father, they might be found faithful as well. So, Father, would you bless the preaching and teaching of your word? And when it's done, Father, we'll praise you and give you honor and glory. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, even when sometimes we're not faithful to you. We love you and thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. I want you to notice, first of all, as we look at this seventh fruit of the Spirit, faith, that notice the faithfulness of God. If we're going to be able to be faithful, it's because God is faithful to you and I first. God is always previous. It's not we're faithful, so God's going to be faithful. It's the other way around. God is previous to that. He's faithful to us. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 13, the Bible said, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. So listen, God's faithfulness to you and I is not dependent upon us, because as Timothy writes, even if we are not faithful, God is still going to be faithful. He always will remain faithful, even when we aren't. And I tell you what, I'm so glad that he is always faithful, because I am ashamed to say I'm not always faithful. Notice, first of all, God is faithful in who he is. You see, God's attributes consist of things such as his justice, his immutability, his omnipotence, just to name a few of those words. But rest assured, God is always faithful in them. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. So here we have Paul writing, and he's telling us, listen, we need to be faithful. We need to have faith, and don't waver on that, because God is faithful as he has promised he always will be. In Hebrews 11 in verse number 1, the Bible says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him to be faithful who had promised. Again, it wasn't Sarah's faithfulness, it was God's faithfulness. In Deuteronomy 7 in verse number 9, the Bible says, know therefore the Lord thy God, he is a God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. You see, he's faithful during temptations. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will not the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So understand this, when temptation comes your way, God is not going to put anything in your path that he knows that if you'll step out by faith and you'll trust him and turn to him for his help, he knows that you could overcome that. The problem is when temptations come, we never look to God. We turn the opposite way and we look to our flesh and our sinful character and we say, oh, I want that. I desire that. I hope I don't get caught. I hope no one sees me. I hope no one hears about this. But understand this, he is faithful even during times of temptation. He is faithful during the trials of our life. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says this, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil, or keep you from trials and tribulations that come into our life. He said he is faithful. We're not faithful, but he is faithful. And in Jude 24, the writer says this, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceedingly joy. Thank God for that verse. He is faithful during times of trial, faithful during times of temptation. Take your Bibles and turn over to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 4. And let's look at verses 12 through verse number 14. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 12 through verse number 14. The Bible says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some things happen unto you. But rejoice in so much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceedingly joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Thank God that he is faithful during those times of trial. Here's a cute story in regard to God's faithfulness. A mother and her 4-year-old little girl were getting ready to go to bed at night, and the child was deathly afraid of the dark. I don't know if you have any children that are afraid of the dark. I know some of our grandchildren, I don't know if they're afraid of the dark, but they always want to have a little nightlight on. I'm like, we're not wasting electricity. Donna says, put the nightlight on, David, and just get over it, amen. So we find that this child was afraid of the dark and asked her mother to stay with me till I fall asleep. As they lay there in bed, the mother got up and turned the light out, and the child immediately looked out the window and saw the moon that was shining forth from that window. Mother, the child asked, is the moon God's light? The mother looked at the child and says, yes, my child, it is. The next question was this, will God turn out his light to go to sleep? The mother replied back to that 4-year-old little girl, no, my child, God never goes to sleep. Then in childlike faith, the little girl responded, well, as long as God is awake, there's no reason that both of us should stay awake tonight, amen, and fell fast asleep. You know, knowing that God is faithful to us should reassure us and empower us to be faithful as well, because he is faithful. It should empower us to be faithful back to him. Well, God is faithful because of who he is, but then notice something else. We find, secondly, he's faithful to his word. You know, the Bible was our sole source of faith and practice for all that we believe. You know, if you ever hear me preach anything that doesn't come from this Bible, I want you to call me out on it, because this is our sole source of our faith and practice. God has declared that his word is even greater than his name. In Psalm 138, in verse 2, the Bible said, I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And then even in Psalm 119 and verse 86, the psalmist writes, all thy commandments are faithful. And in verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Well, not only do we see the faithfulness of God and walking in faith, but notice, secondly, the fervency of God's people. The fervency of God's people. You see, fervency can be defined as showing passionate enthusiasm. You know, we show fervency in everyday walk of life. Some I showed fervency yesterday when I learned that Penn State beat Michigan. And I showed fervency when I heard that Washington beat Dallas. I don't really watch football, but when I did, I like Washington. I hate Dallas. I love Penn State because I'm from Pennsylvania, and my brother-in-law, Gary Good, likes Michigan. So whenever we beat Michigan or Dallas, it's a good day at my house. That reminds me, I'm going to text Gary and remind him that who reigned supreme on the football field this past week. I don't know how I got on that, but we can be fervent and passionate about different things in our life. And I found throughout my walk with the Lord that most people are faithful and they're not fearful or they're not fervent. I found that they are fearful instead of being fervent and faithful. All of us at times in our Christian walk are a little reluctant, or sometimes we're hesitant as we walk by faith. But when someone is literally fearful, it causes them to freeze and not move forward and not push ahead, trusting God during those difficult circumstances in their life. You see, notice that God does require faithfulness. God does require our faithfulness. In Proverbs 20 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" Someone said this, and I agree with it. God doesn't require talent. He only requires our faithfulness. Just this past week, one of our senior day school teacher, Diana Gates, her mother, went to be with the Lord. And during the funeral, as I watched the funeral service taking place on numerous occasions, her son and then her former pastor made mention of this fact that she just loved to sing in the choir. And she would sometimes sing solos, not on purpose, but she would come in early or stay on too long, amen. And everyone would just know that was her, amen. So understand this, that God doesn't require you to have great knowledge. He just requires faithfulness in all that we do. 1 Corinthians 4, 2, moreover, is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Well, where are we be found faithful? If the Bible says that we are to be faithful, I think it really would behoove us to understand where are we to be faithful at. I think, first of all, we ought to be faithful in our workplace. In Colossians 3 and 23, the Bible says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men." You see, oftentimes we think we work for our boss. I guess in some small way we do work for our boss, but really we don't. We work for the Lord. The Lord just uses that job to provide the finances for us to give our tithes and offerings and love gifts and be a blessing to others around us. And so understand this, that whatever we do in our place of work, we ought to do it heartily, as if we were immediately working for the Lord. We ought to be faithful in our workplace. We ought to be faithful to our families. In Ephesians 5, 25 and 26, we find Paul writing these words: "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." And then in Colossians 3 and verse 21, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Well, we ought to be faithful to our work. We ought to be faithful to our families. But then there's something else we ought to be faithful in, and that is in our stewardship. In Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 12, we find these words: "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." So basically, the Lord is saying, if you're faithful in little things, you're going to be faithful in big things. If you're unfaithful in little things, you're going to be unfaithful in large things as well. "If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" So here he says, listen, if you're not going to be faithful with the money and the property and things that I give you, he said, how can I trust you with riches? And if you've been faithful to that which is another man's, what shall give you that which your own? So he simply says this. He said, if you're not faithful in what I've given you, how can I trust you with more? If you're not faithful with taking care of the business that your boss has asked you to come be a part of, he said, how can I ever give you your own business? He said, that's not going to happen. And what the Lord is saying here is that we are as good
as the world's good, paying our bills on time, staying away from extensive debt. We'll be faithful in spiritual matters if we're faithful in those money matters as well. We ought to be faithful as well in our church attendance. I think we covered that pretty much this morning, but Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I think some people change churches at all as they change their underwear, amen. And that's not a very far-fetched exaggeration. We're pretty good here about winning people and discipling them and keeping them here. And I'm thankful for God. We never take that for granted. But there is a group of people that just move from church to church to church to church. Maybe they'll be there a year or two, 3 years, maybe 4 years, but then they're off somewhere else. I often thought this, does it really make a difference what church you stay home from? Does it really make a difference what church you stay home from? I don't think it really does, amen. I think God requires us to be faithful. We ought to be faithful in our church attendance. Well, we see that God requires faithfulness, but notice something else. Because God requires that faithfulness, secondly, God produces faithfulness. It's only as we yield to the Holy Spirit's leading that we learn to become faithful. I found that some of the littlest things can prevent people from being faithful to God and faithful to the house of God. The smallest, minute matters of this world keep people from being faithful to God and faithful to the house. So when someone is not faithful, guess what? That's a pretty good indicator that they're not being led by the Spirit of God. If they're not faithful to God and not faithful to the house of God, pretty much you can figure out they're not being led by God's Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says this, "This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust thereof." Of the flesh. You see, our flesh wants to stay home. Our flesh doesn't want to come Sunday night. Our flesh doesn't want to come on Wednesday. Our flesh maybe will come at 11 o'clock because we can sleep in a little bit because we don't have Sunday school right now. But listen, our flesh says, you don't have to go Wednesday night. You don't have to go back Sunday night. He took care of everything that needed to be taken care of Sunday morning. You want to go back for a second helping of what he already dished out this morning? Listen, if there's someone who is not faithful, the indicator is simply they're not being led by the Spirit of God. Romans 6:13 says this, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." That word yield means to bring into one's fellowship or intimacy with someone. But it's used in this verse in a different way, in two different ways. The first time it's used in Romans 6, verse 13, it's used in the present tense. And it gives us this idea of presenting. It denotes the daily habit of giving of the hand, or giving of the tongue, or giving of the eyes, or the ears, or the mind to God, because we're such susceptible to being tempted through the ear gate and the eye gate and our hand gate. And so in that first use in Romans 6:13, it's really this idea of being in the present tense, that on a daily basis we're yielding ourselves to Him. But in the second and the last use here in Romans 6 and verse number 13, in the Greek it's used in the aorist tense, and it denotes an act of self-devotion once and for all. An example will be Romans 12 and verse number 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And so we find in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 13, we see that we're to yield ourselves daily to Him, our hands and eyes and mouth and nose and all that we are, but there ought to be a one time where we denote our self-sacrifice, that we give ourselves all to Him, according to Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. See, the Holy Spirit is in our lives to make our character to be more like Jesus Christ. And because He is faithful, we ought to be faithful as well. Faithfulness is the temperament of the Holy Spirit of God. Well, not only do we see the faithfulness of God and the fervency of God's people, notice lastly tonight, our examination for faithfulness. Our examination for faithfulness. That's one word that brought dread to me when I was taking college courses and taking my AP classes when I was in high school. I only took one AP class, history. So I loved history, and I took advanced placement history. And I didn't like all the work that you had to do, but I liked the lessons and what he taught at United States history. That was wonderful. But that word test, quiz, or examination always brought fear and trepidation. And so I want us to think tonight about our examination for faithfulness. One day that we are going to be examined or judged for our faithfulness according to 1 Corinthians 4, verses 2 and 4. We'll now take time to turn there. But we find that taught in God's word. You see, all of us have different opportunities that God has placed in front of us. Turn back in your Bible to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Our examination for faithfulness. We all have different opportunities that God has placed in front of us. Notice in Matthew 25, beginning in verse number 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. Then he that received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them 5 other talents. And likewise he that received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that received 1 went and digged the earth and hid his Lord's money. You see, the truth is that the talents in this parable really show that unequal gift, but if they're used with equal faithfulness, will be equally rewarded. So not everyone was given the same amount by the master. One had 5, and one had 5, and one had 2, and one had 1. Understand this, that we don't always have the same equalness in our gifts that God has given us, but if used with equal faithfulness, will be equally rewarded at the end. We all have different opportunities that God gives us. It's our job to be faithful. It's our job to be unafraid to use those opportunities once God has given them. So the question I have for you this evening is simply this. Are you being faithful to use those opportunities that God has given you? Well, we all have different opportunities, but notice secondly, we will all be examined according to our own faithfulness. It's not the faithfulness of your wife, the faithfulness of your children, the deacon, the pastor, the Sunday school teacher. It's your faithfulness. In Matthew 25, in verse 19, the Bible said, "And a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them." Listen, I want to remind you again, you and I are not called to be successful. We're called to be faithful with what God has given us. In Revelation 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Notice the last words, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." In chapter 12 and verse number 11 of that same book, the Bible says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." You see, one day we're all going to be examined according to our faithfulness. And listen, he's not gonna ask us to give an account for how much talent we have, but he asks us to call into account the faithfulness that we use that talent for. Faithfulness isn't always easy, but know that Jesus Christ still has called us to be faithful. Even in those hard times, he still desires for us to be faithful. Maybe if we could just keep in mind that the goal is to please the Lord Jesus Christ, we would find it a little bit easier to remain faithful even during those difficult times of our life. Do you know what the result is going to be of a faithful servant? Look down in Matthew 25 and verse 21. "And the Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You see, God has called you and I unto faithfulness. And he's given us the indwelling Holy Spirit of God to accomplish that. When we need to walk in the Spirit, that we might exhibit the fruit of the Spirit of faith or faithfulness in their life. Do you exhibit that fruit in your life? Let's pray. Father.